All right, how's everybody else doing this morning?
Good.
You did? I slept in. I was like, thank you, Lord. Like many people of my generation, we pack more into a Saturday than is humanly possible. At least I think so sometimes. But it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, Carol and Bev and children, for helping to lead our worship this morning. It's good to be here. And a beautiful, didn't the Lord bless us with a beautiful fall day today? Another thing to praise the Lord for. I just want to give you a little update here. Something we started doing this last week was more on Facebook, and we put ads out there for our trunk or treat and today's worship service, and for a small investment, four new people liked the church's Facebook page. And three people shared our events with their friends, and 11 actually clicked like on the events. And since last Sunday, 1,390 people within 15 miles of church saw our ads. Isn't that interesting? Facebook tells you all this. 84 people engaged with the post in some way, and 65 people actually clicked on the link for the ad or the church. So I thought that was encouraging. Please share events with your Facebook friends. If you see something, click on the share button. People are online today. I was talking earlier today when we started doing this. Facebook notifies you, hey, there's 94,000 people within 15 miles of your church on Facebook, okay? So that's the potential audience on Facebook. It all depends on how much money you have to spend, whether you reach them all or not. If I could afford more, we'd reach more. But this is one way to reach them. And today, people will check out your church online before they ever come through the door. So it's important to connect with people and to touch them in this way. That's the new community center, apparently. All right, well, before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you for hearing us when we pray. Thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, we can now be part of your kingdom, right now. Thank you for meeting our daily needs this past week. Thank you that through faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we become your children. Please speak to us today through your Word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For we pray in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. I want to begin with our scripture reading this morning from Luke chapter 11. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 10 from the New International Version. I invite you to follow along in your Bible if you have it with you. We're also going to have it up on the screen. Luke 11. The Bible says in Luke 11, verse 1, it says that Jesus one day was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Kind of an abbreviated version of what we call the Lord's Prayer at another place. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, well, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the word of God. You know, when our kids were still at home, we had a man knock on the door one day. And he asked this question when we opened the door. He said, are you one of the parents in this neighborhood who's concerned about juvenile delinquency? What a question. What would you have said? Of course. Of course I'm one of those parents, okay? He was selling Bibles and storybooks, and he hit the nail right on the head. If anything is to be done about troublemakers, bad behavior, at-risk students, and young people, it needs to begin in the home. Newsflash, it's not the school's job to fix what's broken in the home. I've told this to many teachers during the week, but if we have problem kids, we can't fix what's broken with these kids in an hour and a half or 50 minutes, depending on how long the periods are in school. Principals and teachers all across America tell the same story. It's getting harder and harder to maintain discipline and order in the classroom just so you can teach something. Students today face challenges and choices far different than their parents' generation did. Much of the media and music in our culture encourages them to make wrong choices in their lives. Plus, in today's world, a student can no longer count on having a strong father figure to turn to at home. So why are so many of today's families falling apart at the seams? Think about that. Why? Counselors recommend that families sit down together for at least one meal a day. In many homes, it's rare for the family to eat one meal together a week. A week. Why? Because we're busy, busy, busy. We're engaged with the devices and the electronics and all the stuff, the activities going on. A lot of it's good stuff. But we're busy, busy, busy. So what's the solution? You know, I once had a tie rack. I still wear ties. Once had a tie rack I really liked. It rotated the ties and hung on a coat rack. And in one of our moves, it broke. It was just a little tab of plastic that held it to the post, you know, the rack in the closet you hang your shirts on. But without that little tab, it didn't work. So I got some super glue that works on everything, and it did the job. Unfortunately, super glue doesn't work for families. Friends, what we need is family glue. Something that works for families, for every family, that will hold families together. And today I'd like to recommend one to you. It's called prayer. Prayer. Perhaps you've heard that the family that prays together, what? You've heard that. Good. The family that's a modern proverb, okay? And like the proverbs in the Bible, they're not 100% true all the time, okay? But they reflect what's usually true, okay? The family that prays together stays together. Now, why is that true? Because the Bible teaches us that prayer is a direct line to the living God, the God who promises to hear and answer our prayers. And when you read the Bible, you know what you discover? We have a prayer-answering God. I love to ask people when prayer comes up, why does prayer work? And they look at me kind of like a deer in the headlights. They haven't thought about that. Why does prayer work? It works because we have a prayer-answering God who loves to give good things to his children. It doesn't matter how sincere you are if there's nobody at the other end, folks, okay? It works because we have a wonderful, good God who loves us. And I've learned that if you're praying for someone, it's much harder to criticize them. And if you're praying with them, it's much more difficult for them to criticize you. Kind of one of the side effects, benefits of prayer. Prayer brings the power of God to bear on your problems. He can strengthen our family life. Do you pray regularly? Do you pray with your family regularly? You know, there's no checklist where God's going, oh, they didn't pray with their kids before they went to school. God's not doing that. Just be creative. You know, if you've got a child or a friend or a neighbor or you meet someone that has a need, say, can we pray? Let's pray about it right now. They're testing. Let's pray about that. I love to ask the kids in school in the morning when we have a moment of silence. Do you know how we have a moment of silence in school? We have a Pledge of Allegiance, moment of silence. Every school does it in Virginia, I think. It's because when my generation was in school, we had a Bible reading and a prayer over the loudspeaker in the morning. For real, in public school. Okay, we even had assemblies at Easter where they brought in a priest or pastor to preach. I mean, public school. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. Okay. And so I tell this to the kids and I'll say, but you know, there was an atheist lady, and we take time to define that, who took it all the way to the Supreme Court and they said, no, you can't do that. That's government sponsoring religion. But you can have a moment of prayer or a moment of silence so students can pray or meditate if they want to. And I tell students that I suspect a lot of prayer happens when there's math tests. And they usually smile and yes, it does, okay. But we have a prayer answering God. Take advantage of opportunities. Encourage others to pray. Folks, listen. The reason families are falling apart today is not because we have problems. It's because there's little or no prayer. God isn't much a part of what's going on in families. Now, I can hear someone say, okay, Pastor, I'm with you, but I want to have more in my prayer in my family, but how can I do it? How can I do it? Well, Some students also may be thinking, ho-hum, this isn't for me, I don't have a family yet. You know, well, you're part of a family right now, and one day you may be a parent asking the same question, so listen up. To bring prayer back into our homes, there's three things that we need to know about prayer. And if you want to jot notes, I think there's room on the back of the bulletin or somewhere, okay? I told Jay you were going to take notes, okay? First of all, the first thing you need to know about prayer is that prayer is caught. Prayer is caught. A great prayer life isn't something that's handed to you like a gift. It's something you catch. You catch it like catching a cold. You get it from being around somebody else that prays, from hearing them pray. And you learn from them. That's how I learned to pray. The church I went to as a kid, we had prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and we'd sing some hymns, and then we'd separate into our groups. And there were adults who took the kids by age group and prayed with us. And we shared our prayer requests as kids, and then we learned to pray. And not everybody had to pray, but we heard other people pray, and we learned to talk to God. You know, Jesus' disciples caught it from Jesus. The Bible says, very early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And then you know what happened? Simon and all of his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they said, everybody's looking for you, Jesus. What are you doing? Early in Jesus' ministry, he could have said, guys, the first thing I want to teach you is about the importance of prayer. He could have said that, but he didn't. Instead, what did he do? He spent nights praying with his Father God. In fact, just about every time his disciples went looking for him, they found him praying on his knees. Until finally, after a long time, they said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? So let me ask you, what does your family, what do your friends catch from watching you? One of the things I remember from my childhood is walking by my parents' bedroom, looking in, and I would see my father praying over his Bible, and I couldn't read. I was just 3 years old. It struck me that his Bible and his relationship with God was important. I remember going, getting his Bible and opening it up, and he had a lot of things, pretty colors, highlighting things. I couldn't read, but I knew that this book was important to him and that his relationship with God was, and I would hear him praying for me. I also remember my father rolling on the floor and laughing and playing with us kids. What a great combination. A father on his knees in prayer and on the floor laughing with his children. Do the members of your family ever find you in prayer so often that they would be compelled to say, Mom, Dad, sister, brother, son, daughter, teach us to pray like that? Is God real in your life? Do you long for his power? Do you long for his presence? If you do, then you'll pray. And you don't have to use flowery words and speeches. Just share your heart with him. Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City, a number of years ago wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. In it, he said something very interesting. He said, if our churches don't pray, and if people don't have an appetite for God, what does it matter how many are attending the services? How would that impress God? Can you imagine the angels saying, oh, your pews, we can't believe how beautiful they are. Up here in heaven, we've been talking about them for years. Your sanctuary lighting, it's so clever. The way you have stairs coming up to the pulpit, it's wonderful. I don't think so, he said. I don't think so. Christian grandparents, mom, dad, student, the members of your family are watching you, okay? They're watching you. They know you claim to be a Christian, and they expect you to model the importance of prayer. Prayer recognizes, I need help from God. And our need isn't partial, it's total. Let me be honest with you, folks. The Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible apart from God. It's a supernatural life, and until you learn to tap God's supernatural resources, you can never adequately set an example for others in faith. And whether you realize it or not, people are watching you. They're watching me. Our friends, our children are looking for us to convince them by our actions that we're dependent on God. I hope you pray with them. I hope you pray with them. I'll never forget, we would go to visit my grandmother's house for a while. We lived about an hour away from her. We'd go down there, and she had this big round oak table with a pedestal. You remember those tables that had like kind of lion's feet or something for the feet? And after dinner, Grandma and Grandpa got out our daily bread. I remember this as a little kid, okay? And after supper, we would sit around the table, and they would read the daily bread for that day, and then we would take prayer requests. And sometimes my brother and I would climb under the table, and we'd be playing. It made an impression on me. Prayer was an important part of our family. Are you demonstrating the importance of prayer by your example? Would your family say that you spend more time complaining or praying? I don't know. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm just thinking out loud. So how is your prayer time? A consistent prayer life is caught. Would someone else catch the habit from being around you? I hope so. The second thing you need to know about prayer is that prayer is taught. Prayer is also taught. One day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." After prayer is caught, it must also be taught. You must first know what prayer is before you can learn more about it. Where is prayer taught? Well, the Bible emphasizes teaching at home. If we don't teach prayer at home, where will children learn it? At school? Now, they do have Fellowship of Christian Athletes at school. They do have See You at the Pole once a year. And I think it was close to 100 kids at the high school where I've been teaching at over Lord Botetourt. And that's wonderful, but that's once a year, okay? And where it really needs to be taught is at home. As far back as Moses, the Bible says these commandments are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. You say, well, I don't have any kids. Okay, well, have you ever thought about volunteering to teach children's church or a Sunday school class for kids? You say, we don't have a Sunday school class for kids. You're right. Go find some kids. Bring them in and you'll have a Sunday school class. Neighbors, whatever. I mean, we had a whole bunch come through here on Wednesday night, didn't we? And some of them don't go to church anywhere. Isaiah said, fathers tell their children about your faithfulness. And Jesus is following this example when he tells his men, here's how to pray. And he kind of gives them that sample prayer. So let me ask you, what are you teaching your family, your children about prayer? May I suggest several things to teach them? Just suggestions. First, we need to teach the members of our family what prayer is. Prayer is the privilege of God's children alone. All the promises in the Bible for answered prayer are to believers. Those who follow Jesus and put their faith in him as their Savior. You know, you might say, well, Brother Becker, isn't God everyone's father? No, he's not. You become a child of God through faith. The first prayer that God answers for a person is one like this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a prayer of repentance. When you come to God through faith in Christ and ask him to forgive your sins. The Bible says, yet to all who received him, to them that believed on his name, he gave the right to be called the children of God. That's talking about Jesus. And the path is very simple. You need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to believe that Jesus died for your sin and confess him as your Lord and trust him as your Savior. And once you're a child of God, prayer is just one of the many privileges we have. I think it's still on the website. What do you have when you have Jesus? I preached on that this last summer. It might be there still. I don't know. We have many privileges of God's children. Prayer is just one of them. And it's natural for dads to give their kids what they need when they ask, right? But if God isn't your heavenly Father, how can you expect him to give you what you need? Let me give you a simple illustration. Let's say that a boy goes into a candy store and he asks the owner, can I please have a big bag of candy for free? What's the owner going to say? Sorry, we only sell candy here, but... if the owner's daughter says, Daddy, can I have this lollipop? What's he going to say to his daughter? Take as many as you want, honey. Why? What's the difference? It's his child. It's his child. Same for God. Next, you should teach your members of your family what prayer is not. Prayer is not some things. Prayer is not a lamp that you rub, you know, and have God grant all your wishes when the genie appears, okay? Neither is prayer begging for what you want, okay? Prayer is not begging for what you want. If we pray like that all the time, kids get the mistaken impression that prayer with God is kind of like old McDonald's farm, you know, with a gimme, gimme here, and a gimme, gimme there, gimme there, gimme everywhere, gimme, gimme. Listen to how we pray sometimes. It's easy to just do that, isn't it? Instead, you can teach them that prayer is simply taking our needs to our Heavenly Father and asking Him to take care of them. Physical needs, social needs, emotional, spiritual needs. That's why we pray together as a church. Prayer also involves thanking God, worshiping Him, and praying for others, both in our family and outside our family. Our neighbors, our friends, the church, the world, people that we run into. I was at Sam's Club yesterday, okay? And I've been trying to get my tires rotated, and here they have an auto department. I thought, well, we're going to be here a few minutes. Let me do that. So I'm talking to the guy. Another guy comes up and is talking to him, and he says, you're going to be here next week? So until next week, and the guy, Barry, he says to him, well, I don't know. My brother's in the hospital. And if he dies, he said, I might not be here next week. So it was my turn to talk to him. I says, tell me about your brother. 22 years old, has a shunt for drainage. They had to replace it. Things did not go well. He's been in the hospital for a week, and they're saying, not a whole lot of hope. A lot of pain. I said, I'm going to pray for you. What's his name? His name's Charles. That's called intercession. When you hear bad news in the news, or if there's a disaster, if there's a flood, just talking with somebody yesterday whose brother-in-law in Florida had a 150-foot-tall pine tree come right into their house, almost killed both him and his fiancée. Okay? You hear things like that. Those are people to pray for. Okay? It's called intercession. So first, prayer is caught, then it's taught. And finally, if our families are to understand the importance of prayer, the third thing you need to know about prayer is that prayer is bought. Prayer is bought. It costs something to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Some of you remember that verse. Pray without ceasing. Too much Christian experiences are in our homes is secondhand. We haven't learned by doing it ourselves. We tell our children to pray. We need to give them an example of prayer in real life situations. Pray with them. Prayer is bought in several ways. The first way I'd like to suggest to you that prayer is bought with problems. Okay? C.S. Lewis said, problems are God's megaphones to get our attention. That's a good observation, isn't it? And so God allows crises and disappointments and all kinds of hassles into our lives to drive us to our knees. I'm convinced that's why God allows some people to hit the ceiling and go right on through. And in their anguish, they cry out and say, oh, God, help me. I can't do anything here. I need your help. And God says, I wondered when you would say that. God loves to hear that because then when He meets your needs, you'll never be able to say, well, I was an adequate parent. You know, all you'll be able to say is, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Prayer is also bought not only with problems, but specifics, specific requests. I believe that generalities in prayer are a refuge for a weak faith. You know, dear God, bless Granny and Pops, bless the missionaries, amen. That's kind of just a general prayer. We need to be specific. Years ago, I got our family a prayer notebook. We really needed God to provide for our family, okay? We had moved a good way across the country, and we needed a place to live. And so we wrote down our needs and the date we prayed, and then we wrote down the answers as they came in. I couldn't substitute anything for what that notebook taught my family about prayer, folks. Our biggest need, as I said, was a place to live, and we were living in a church annex. There was no kitchen, and so we prayed for a house to live in. And I began attending a group of ministers that met once a week, and we shared prayer requests, and it wasn't long when a pastor from the Lutheran church said, hey, we've got a second parsonage that's empty right now. Would you like to stay there? I said, how much? He said, well, we just need you to mow the grass. I said, I can do that. It's like three or four hours, but I could do that, you know. It was a big yard. Rode this big tractor. But God provided a place to live. And then after that, we only had a limited time to stay there. We prayed, and God provided a four-bedroom, beautiful home on a nice street, a Christian lady that owned it, who paid all our closing costs, okay? I'd never owned a home. I don't have any equity, okay? And each time you find yourself on the edge of your faith, you know what? It's a little easier to trust God. Why? Because you remember the last time God provided. He answered that prayer. We have a prayer-answering God, folks, okay? And it's a good thing to keep a record of that in case you forget, because I don't know about you, but I'm forgetful. I read about a Christian father who wanted to teach his children how God answers prayer, and so he started a prayer notebook. And one day they were down to their last meal, and he said, "Kids, let's ask Jesus for $10. So they wrote that in their prayer request book, $10. Later that same day, the man got a letter from a friend he hadn't heard from in years, and in that letter was $10. He was so excited. He bought his home. He called his family together, and he said, "Look at this, kids. Isn't this fantastic?" And his older daughter said, "What's so fantastic about that, Daddy? Isn't that what we asked Jesus for?" And he wanted to crawl under the rug. Children's faith often makes us ashamed, doesn't it? Now, you may ask, and God might say, "No. We did. I wanted a piano so our kids could take piano lessons. Never got that piano. It's probably a good thing all the times we moved here." But I thought we'd be nice. God said no. We thank God for that. Just like a good earthly father, he doesn't give his children everything they ask for, does he? Friends, nothing is sliced so real in life as in the home. It provides an opportunity to teach our children the most significant experiences in all of life. And one of the greatest joys as a parent is to see your children begin to talk to God on their own. We've had that joy with our grandchildren now, and it is a real joy. We began by looking at Mark chapter 1, where we read about early in the morning, Jesus got up and he went out to pray by himself. You know what morning that was? It was the morning after one of the busiest recorded days in his life. A day crowded with performing miracles, teaching and ministry to many people. And only those who have a continuing public ministry know how emotionally draining that can be. But so high on his priority list was a conversation with his God, his Father, that the next morning, long before daybreak, he went to a solitary place to pray. Folks, listen. If Jesus Christ, who had unbroken fellowship and communion with his Father, needed to pray, what must your need be? What must my need be? What must be the need of our families to pray? Many homes are falling apart because they have no spiritual resources and aren't seeking divine answers to human problems. But the family that learns that prayer is caught, it's taught, and it's bought, and finally practices it, that family can stay together. I want to challenge you as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, to make a commitment in your heart right now to God to pray. A commitment to pray for and pray with your family. Plan it together. Talk about it over dinner today. Think about starting a prayer notebook if you want to do something concrete that'll encourage your faith. Is it easy? No, it takes constant effort. But the rewards are eternal and the benefits are immeasurable. Do you complain all the time? Are you praying? Students, pray for your parents. Parenting is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. It never gets easier. Even when your kids become adults. It just changes, okay? It just changes. Parenting is definitely not for cowards. Someday everyone gets to be a parent if they're blessed. Pray not only for your school, pray for your family, your teachers, your friends. And if you're here today without Christ, let me encourage you to begin that journey. Take that step of faith. Trust God. Make him your heavenly Father. And you'll have a prayer-answering God. You know, the Bible says God says, my house will be called a house of prayer. Isn't that interesting? Could that be said of Lakeside Church? I hope so. I hope so. Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I want to challenge you to begin praying today. Pray for mercy. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for revival. You know, as I drive down every day past churches, I pray for those churches and those pastors. Some of them I know. I pray that God will bring revival to all the churches. Pray for your community. Pray that we'll reach them for Christ. Pray for the people that came through that door Wednesday night. We don't know all their names, but some of them need a church. Let's be satisfied with nothing less than God working in our lives. As you leave today, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Keys to Praying More Effectively. Just one little page. It's on the black stand by the door, okay? Feel free to help yourself. Take one for a friend. Maybe it will encourage you in your prayer life. Would you bow with me now as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to pray today for each one here. Thank you for their faith, their love for Jesus, their presence here this morning. Lord, I pray for the dads and moms, the grandparents, aunts and uncles, to take leadership in praying for and with their families. Lord, many of us have family members who are far from God, and we pray that you draw them back to Jesus. Lord, I pray for the schools in our community, the Christian teachers that are there, that they might find opportunities to minister to the students and encourage them in faith. Help us to reach our community for Christ. Lord, may our church be known as a house of prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.